You're listening to Teenage Sports with your host, Michael Barra. I have two guests on today. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Boom McDougal. I was in the last podcast, and my favorite college football teams are Clemson, Oklahoma State, TCU, and Texas. I have a lot, but yeah.
I'm Chloe Reeves, and my favorite college football team is Oklahoma State.
All right, guys. I think we're just going to run it. You just want to run it?
Let's go.
All right. So today we're going to be doing our top six college football predictions. Chloe and Boom are a lot better. They watch a lot more college football. They know a lot more college football than me. They know the players. They know the teams. I don't even know which teams are in which conferences. So they're going to be a lot better at this than me, but I'm going to be trying. So I think we should all start on our number six. I'll go first, Chloe second, and then Boom, you can round us off because I know you got something to say. Yeah. So my number six team is USC. Chloe, go ahead.
Mine's Oklahoma State.
Mine is the always overrated Oklahoma Sooners.
All right.
I don't think
Chloe, I want to talk. Let's talk about yours first. So you obviously there's a little bias there. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Okay, there is a little bias, but there's logic behind it, and it's good logic.
I agree. All right.
Okay, so I said number six. Like my first point has to be the returning players. Number one running back in the country. Do not argue with me on that one. You will
totally
not win.
Agree.
I agree.
Okay. This one, another one returning, Tylan Wallace, their star wide receiver. He got hurt last year in contention for the Biletnikoff the year before. I think he's going to come back from his ACL and be the player that he was. Like, he was so good in the 2018-2019 season. Last year he got hurt and he was just better than he was. He just kept progressing. When he got hurt, I don't think it's going to set him back before he was when he was a freshman and set James Washington. So I think he's going to be a great player again. And then Spencer Sanders, I think he finally figured out Oklahoma State's offense by the end of the year and was not turning the ball over.
Is he a sophomore?
He's a redshirt sophomore. Okay. So he's got more eligibility. And when he was at Ryan, he was a great football player. And I think toward the end of the year last year, he was a great football player.
It's Ryan High School.
So, but yeah. But also, their defense is going to be freaking insane for a Big 12 defense.
Really? Better than TCU's?
And that's what I think. Oh, heck yeah.
I don't think about that. I don't know about that. That's personally my bias, though. I'm a TCU fan.
They have two of the best linebackers in the Big 12. Britton can vouch for this. Britton has watched these two guys play, Malcolm Rodriguez and Eamon Ogbogamiga. They're secondary. They have these safeties that will legit – these safeties are, like, the best safeties I've ever seen Oklahoma State have. And I watched OSU play in the 2011 season when they were the number three team in the country.
TCU has the best safeties in the Big 12. I think they have the best safeties in all of college football. ESPN has come out and talked about
Kobe
their safeties.
Trey Sterling? Kobe Harvell-Peel and Trey Sterling. Kobe Harvell-Peel just in and of himself is the best safety in the Big 12.
I'll tell you period. Why Oklahoma State's defense will be better than TCU's. And this is something that I hate doing because Gary Patterson is the best defensive head coach in the country.
I 100% agree with you. Gary Patterson can create
and
a great defense.
He continually makes mediocre defensive talent very good because of his scheme. I don't think that Blacklock, who's going to be in the NFL draft,
He'll be a top two round pick.
I don't think he's going to be a top two round talent, but Gary Patterson's scheme made him look that way because he is such a good defensive coach. But Oklahoma State, their talent just outweighs TCU's. It's just their linebacking core, like Chloe said, is going to be way better than TCU's. And I don't know. And also, I mean, we're comparing them. We're comparing the two defenses. TCU's not even a – probably not – maybe not even a top 25 team this year. And the offense for OSU is going to make up for if they have any defensive struggles.
Yeah. I mean, TCU's losing Jalen Reagor to the draft. They're losing Jeff Gladney and Blacklock.
Gladney was a beast, by the way.
Yeah, he was.
Very, very underrated. Well,
I think OSU's defense is going to struggle just because you're playing Big 12 offenses, and they're most of the time powerhouse offenses. And I don't think any Big 12 defense can stand the chance as much as maybe an SEC defense could. But I think from what I saw last year of Oklahoma State's defense, especially toward the end of the year, is they came up with really, really big plays. And their offense, when Spencer Sanders was in before he got hurt toward the end of the year, was using those plays for something positive offensively.
Now, is the Big 12's offensive just powerhouses, or is it just because they played horrible talent in their own conference?
Are you asking me or Chloe?
I'll ask you, Boom. You haven't talked much yet.
All right. I'll tell you, they're elite offenses as well as bad defense, but you've seen that last year, OU still put up a pretty good amount of points against LSU. Texas ran all over, or scored so many points against Utah. The year before that, Texas put a lot of points up against Georgia. OU put up a lot of good points up against Alabama. Even though they lost the game, the offenses still perform against SEC teams. And if we're saying the SEC is the best defense in the country, which they are, it's not the Big 12 offense who loses games against other conferences. Like, Texas lost 42. I might be wrong. I know it was a 7-point game to LSU last year in the first game of the season. It was like a shootout, like 70 points scored.
Oh, yeah.
But it was solely the defense because, I mean, and Texas wasn't even, you know, the best Big 12 team last year, but they are elite offenses as well as bad defense, but it's not just because bad defenses that they play. So.
Yeah, well, if you take back 2017 season, Bedlam, 110 points scored, 60. I think it was like 65-55 or something like that. That's offense is making plays. It's defense is virtually not even doing anything. So I think any defense in the Big 12 really does help the team. Any defense, any sort of talent, any sort of defensive scheme really, really will change.
Boom! Team. You want to talk about your number six?
Yeah, I had OU. And this could be flip-flopped with my other Big 12 team that I have in the playoff.
Whoa. But, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be them. It's going to be OU or the Big 12 team that I have in the making it into the playoff. In the playoff, I'm pretty sure that a Big 12 team will definitely make it in. Just because they have the conference championship now, and that's ever since they've had the conference championship, they've got in. And I have OU up there because they could be Big 12 champions and get it in. But Spencer Rattler, great talent. He's going to be their starting quarterback. I don't know if they've named him yet, but he's definitely going to be it.
Oh, definitely.
Really good player. But it's still his first college season. And, I mean, guys like Baker Mayfield, those type of talents, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, and Kyler Murray, all the guys, everybody thinks, okay, anybody who plays quarterback at OU is going to be good, which I said in the last podcast, yeah, OU is a quarterback system. But all those guys had prior experience, okay? Baker was a transfer. Jalen was a transfer. Kyler was a transfer, you know?
So you're saying Lincoln Riley didn't really create them? He just worked with them really well?
No, I think he definitely improved them. But all I'm saying is they had experience. Spencer Rattler, this is going to be his first college season. And I think he's going to be exactly like Spencer Sanders was when Spencer Sanders was a freshman or his first season. Because, yes, you can see that Sanders had talent. He just had a problem with turning the ball over. He hadn't progressed. We've seen Sanders grow into a better player, and I think next year he's going to be a good player. I think that's going to be the same thing with Rattler. So I know OU's not going to have that great of a defense. They've definitely improved in the past year, but I don't think a first year quarterback is going to get the job done this year in the Big 12. That's just my opinion. But I do think that they're good enough to win every other game, maybe just lose one more Big 12 game.
I don't think they're going to be top six.
Really?
Because, like I said, no. Because I think this is my opinion, and this is what I've seen from the quarterbacks of the previous 3-4 years. Baker, Kyler, and Jalen were all handed down to Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley did not have to progress these players. Their talent was already there, and their experience was already there. So he just kind of had to build a system around them. And they all kind of ran the same way.
Oh, yeah.
They preferred to run the ball other than throw the ball, but they still had a good enough arm to throw the ball. I'd say Baker was probably the most different. Yeah, but it was still the same system, kind of. And Spencer Rattler, does Lincoln Riley have to change this system that has gotten them into the top four the past 3 years?
I think Spencer Rattler can move around.
I think Spencer Rattler,
with the rest of them.
I think he fits right into the system. Yeah. I just don't think he's going to be the same talent as the other three.
At least not his first year.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to come out and be Trevor Lawrence and just be a beast his first season. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay. I see where you're coming from, like seeing that they're going to be top six, but I just think the inexperienced quarterback and really kind of the inexperience of a coach having to teach a quarterback, because the guys that came in already had experience.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I kind of think that's going to play a big factor in and what Lincoln Riley does will play a big factor in what we see in OU's offense.
The reason why I put them so high is because you have to think who else in the Big 12 will beat them.
Oh, yeah. I said.
Because if they have one, even maybe two losses, I still think they get in the top because they're still going to dominate the Big 12. I don't think they win it, though. But that's all I got to say about OU.
Yeah. I agree with you. I do think that they're still going to be a dominant team in the Big 12.
All right. Not much to say about mine. I don't have a ton to back up number six, USC. I got more on my top ones, but I think that they're just going to be an offensive powerhouse. I like their quarterback, Caden Slovis, I believe how you say it, and we'll talk about him later. They were really, really efficient at the end of last year, and I think that they'll be able to dominate their conference enough to get number six.
I don't want to completely, tell you that you're wrong, but USC has struggled so much in the past few years. Their coaching hasn't been the best. They've just always been hyped up every single year. And the USC and Texas both have gotten that hype in the offseason every single season. Ever since USC lost to Texas in the national championship in 2005, they haven't been the same. One of the best teams in college football history. They just haven't been the same because I don't know. I hope they get better because that conference is so bad now. But I don't even know if you can – they're starting to become a non-Power 5 conference, really. But, I just hope that they actually live up to the hype this year, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our fives. I'm actually moving some of mine around, not a ton. But I now have – Bama not making the playoffs at five. Chloe, go ahead and tell us your five.
I got Florida at five.
All right. I've got, and this probably isn't what y'all wanted, but I'm going to give it to you. I've got two different teams in my five slot because I think they both are so similar, and I think that it could go either way, Georgia or Florida.
Ooh.
One of those two at the five.
Okay. Let's talk about yours first. Let's talk about Georgia first.
Let me I'm trying to pull up the have here. Oh. They're loading. If I'm not mistaken, Florida and Georgia are, yeah, they are. They are in the opposite side of the SEC from Bama. Okay.
You're cutting out a bit.
For sure.
You're cutting out a bit. Can
you hear me? Hello?
Start us from the top on Georgia. Yeah, you sound better.
All right, so am I good now? Okay, so Georgia and Florida both are in the opposite side of the SEC from Alabama. So I'm almost certain that they will make it to the SEC championship. And I'm almost certain that the SEC champion, almost every year, unless they just all beat each other, is always going to be in the playoff. So but my problem is, so I don't want to like spoil my top four. I don't think that Georgia or Florida beat the big dog in the other side of the SEC. You know, whoever wins that side of the SEC is gonna get the five spot, in my opinion, just because they're gonna get that loss at the end of the season to Nick Saban and the boys. So I don't really know which one it's going to be because they both are so similar. But yeah, the Georgia-Florida game this year is going to mean a lot for the SEC because that's probably going to determine who's in the SEC championship.
All right, let's go to Chloe's. That's all I got to
say for them.
Okay. I have Florida as my number five. But I think that personally, I think that Georgia is a better team
than Florida.
So I don't.
Who's Georgia's new incoming quarterback? Do we know?
What's his name? He is a very high. He is kind of like Spencer Rattler. Oh man, what's his name? I just lost it.
Do we think he's better than Jake Fromm? Is what I'm thinking. Hold on.
Yes, I think Jake Fromm played very poorly last year, and they still somehow pulled off the season that they pulled off. So that's why I'm saying I don't really want to spoil the rest of my picks, but that's why I'm saying Florida is number five. I think Florida's going to have a really good season, but I think they're going to lose to Georgia. I don't think they can beat Georgia. I think Georgia played – with Jake Fromm last year, they played as good as they could have played.
My deal is with Georgia and the whole SEC. This is the year that the SEC screws up. This is the year because they all have the ability to beat each other because they all the top dogs lost their quarterback. To Joe Burrow, Jake Fromm, everybody. I mean, and everybody lost so many pieces, especially LSU, who I don't even have.
Yeah,
being a top 20 team this year.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt you, graduate transfer quarterback to Georgia. His name is Jamie Newman, and he is from Wake Forest.
What is he? Is he a redshirt?
Yeah,
sophomore.
And
he's a grad transfer. Oh.
Gotcha.
So he has 1 year.
He's got 1 year. He's a Jalen Hurts. Yep. So, yeah, like I was saying, this could be the first year, like I said earlier, in years past, and I think it'll probably still happen. the SEC champion has a bid in, basically. But they all have the ability to kind of be at the same level this year. It's really hard to pick the SEC this year. So that's why I don't know if it's going to be Georgia, if it's going to be Florida, if it's going to be Bama. I don't know.
Yeah. My number five, right, so, I have Bama. At the end of the season, we got to see the replacement quarterback, Mac Jones. I think he was good, but I don't think he was close enough to be able to lead that offense like Tua did. Tua is a fantastic talent that would have been drafted number one if it wasn't for Burrow. It's a fantastic year last year. And maybe if he played out that full year Tua did and Joe Burrow went on to win that game, Tua still probably could have been drafted number one. Tua was a fantastic talent and is still a fantastic talent. But I don't think Mac Jones is going to be able to continue that.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to say Tua, in the first eight games of the season, all you heard was tank for Tua. But then everybody said, oh, gosh, this LSU guy is actually legit. He's something we've never seen before. Everybody thought that Tua was just going to be the best, and he still is. I agree with you. If Joe Burrow wasn't playing, I think that Tua would be a Cincinnati Bengal. So,
all right. Made the playoffs. Let's move up to our number four. This one's going to be a big kind of a shocker. I have A&M. Chloe, you want to tell us yours?
Okay.
Be ready.
Okay. Alabama.
All right, let's get our Alabamas out of the way.
No, Michael, I think we should talk about your Texas A&M because I really want to hear this reasoning.
You're talking to a longtime Texas fan, so I'm gonna try not to be too hard on you. But look here,
more than anybody,
I mean, I'm not
gonna
win this battle. I already know I'm not gonna win this battle.
Proceed with your quarterback.
I think his name is Kellen Mond. I like him a lot. I like Jimbo. Overrated. I wouldn't say overrated.
Overrated.
I like that scheme.
Overrated.
I like their team a lot, and I think that they're going to come out of their conference and win it all. I just think that they're going to be a top five offense in the league, and I think that they're going to be one of the only teams that can play that type of defense. And
I'm going to say something as someone who watched A&M play last year because they played against Oklahoma State. Their defense is not up to caliber of an SEC defense.
How many overtime did they go to?
They beat Oklahoma State.
With LSU?
With their backup quarterback and their number one wide receiver out. That's how they beat Oklahoma State, from their defense. And then offensively, they scored 20-something points on a Big 12 defense. So I'm not seeing Kellen Mond being this great thing. I don't see this Jimbo Fisher scheme working out very well. I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel for Texas A&M. All that.
All right. So, Michael, I think it's time that I take
you got
off
so
of me,
much
given on to you after my Browns pick.
That's hilarious.
Because I'm gonna tell you, let me read off. Yeah, and I
things
know
change.
We
things
can't
change.
Go based on last year because in college football teams change very. But let me just tell you, the teams they would have to be better than to win the SEC.
Everybody,
okay. Last year, the number one ranked LSU Tigers, who I'll give you this, they're not going to be as good this year, okay? The number 4 ranked Georgia Bulldogs. The number 6 ranked Florida Gators. The number 8 ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. And the number 14th ranked Auburn Tigers. Who, after LSU, I think all of those teams are all still top 25 teams next year. And all will just obliterate Kellen Mond and the boys. Jimbo Fisher has not shown us anything at Texas A&M. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, Kellen Mond just isn't SEC champion. He's just not. In the defense, yeah, Chloe's right. The defense cannot keep up with a SEC defense. They're still Big 12 caliber, but they don't have the Big 12 offense, so they're just mediocre. They went 4-4 in the conference last year.
If a Big 12 defense is stopping Kellen Mond and holding him to 20-something points, imagine what a defense from the SEC is going to do to him.
That was all I had. because I've pretty much messed my poll up now because I didn't take in. I messed up finals. We'll go to Alabama and I'll show you what I messed up.
Michael, you could have given us the best reasoning on Texas A&M, and we would have argued with you because we both.
I didn't come in with enough. I like their quarterback Mond. I like Jimbo. Those are just my two reasonings. I like quarterback coaches, and I think quarterback coaches in college football can lead you very far. And
not necessarily. Cliff Kingsbury did nothing.
I agree with that.
He's a great quarterback. But I don't think he's a good.
But then you got. On the flip side of that.
There's obviously a flip side to it, but it's not just – you can't just rely on that.
All right. So we want to talk Bama now,
yeah,
Chloe?
Yeah, talk Bama.
So we both have Bama at 4. The reason why I have Bama 4 and they're the highest SEC team that I have is because years past when Bama wins the SEC, they're always undefeated. I still see them winning the SEC over Georgia or Florida in the SEC championship. But like I said earlier, the SEC this year has the ability to beat up on themselves. There is going to be a lot of teams that are really similar. That's why it's so hard to pick. And I think because of that, Alabama could have one or two losses and still make it in just because they're going to have a tough schedule and they're going to get that huge win at the end of the year. But that's why they'll be 4, is because they're going to have a loss or two, I think. I don't think they're going to have a perfect season. That's the reason I have them at 4. But I think Mac Jones is good enough to lead a Nick Saban team. We've seen A.J. McCarron do it, and I think A.J. McCarron is – I think – literally, they're twins. They could be. I mean, those two play very similar, in my opinion. And you've seen a bunch of quarterbacks. Nick Saban does not need a quarterback to be successful. He just doesn't. He's had elite run game, and I think they're still going to have a good passing game. But, Nick Saban just – he doesn't need a Heisman quarterback to win. Obviously, it helps him, but I don't think the quarterback is going to be an issue for Saban. And I think – they probably, if I'm saying, if I, I think their one loss, I'd say they have one or two. And the reason why is because Alabama is actually playing teams that you've heard of.
I think if you want me to be honest, I think they're going to lose to Auburn. Again. I think that's going to be a loss.
If you follow college sports, the one thing that kills people who pick is rivalries. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest rivalry, one of the biggest rivalries in the nation. And I've seen a lot of great games in that rivalry.
Year,
I mean, it's always close. You know, you gotta have the
crazy.
Last year it was so close.
Then last year the kick at the end of the half that put Auburn ahead. and they ended up winning by one, and it was just crazy.
Yeah. So, if I was going to say that Auburn would beat them too, if anybody.
Mine
yeah,
is a little different reasoning than yours, Britton. I think, disclaimer for everybody, I have another SEC team higher.
Higher.
But I think, yeah, I'll get to my reasoning for that one too. I have Bama at number four because I think they're probably going to lose one regular season game. But it's still going to be enough to get them into the SEC championship. And I think they're going to lose the SEC championship. But with two losses, I still think they can get in at four.
Whoa.
From what I've watched from the other teams the last year that have been 1, 2, 3, and 4, and even 5 and 6, I still think a two-loss Alabama can get in.
Well, you know, I agree with Bama at four, but that's probably all I agree with right now. Because, like I said, your reasoning is completely different from mine. I have Bama sitting in at four because they're going to win the SEC and have a few losses. I agree with you about the part they're going to have a few losses, but if they don't win the SEC championship, they're not going to get in, my opinion, because we're going to have a strong Big 12. We're going to have the Big 10 champion, who I don't want to spoil, but you probably know what's coming there. And then you're going to have the only team relevant that is even the only team that probably qualifies to play NCAA Division I football in the ACC in the top four. So I think those three are locks. Those three conferences are locks. I don't think the SEC gets two teams in.
Yeah, I don't agree with you about the Big 12. They're not good enough this year. The Big 12 is going to be a powerhouse. These schools that are coming like 4 or 5 in the top 25 this year. I think there's going to be 2, 3 at most in the top 25 from the Big 12. I see the Big 12
declining. I see them going up. You guys think Baylor is going to be in the top 25 this year? No.
No. Matt Rule is the reason they were as good.
They did get LSU's defensive coordinator, though.
They were.
Matt Rule was the reason they were as good as
they were
last year.
They were a one-hit wonder. Baylor was a one-hit wonder. Who can I compare him to? An Oregon. Remember Oregon, Marcus Mariota, year when they made a strong playoff push, and then. Look at Oregon now. They have declined every single year. I think it's going to be a slow decline for Baylor, but it's going to happen, and they're not going to – I think they're still a top 25 team. I say they're going to finish the year 20-25, but they're not going to be a competitor.
Baylor's just
going to
see
up top.
Some harder away games this year than they did last year with a team that's not as good.
I think Gary Patterson's amazing defensive mind – is going to beat them in that rivalry game. The year before last, I was at that when TCU beat them. And it is like Gary Patterson is a Gary Patterson is an interesting dude, because as much good things as I've heard about the offensive coordinator for TCU, Cumby, I hate the air raid offense. Reference to the XFL here, how mom you screwed the Renegades. He is the creator of the air raid offense. And I think TCU has had very good talent at running backs. Shewu Alanalua and Darius Anderson, both really good running backs, but they never got any carries. So, and they had Jalen Reagor, who was a great passing threat, but after Trayvon Boykin, I haven't seen an impressive quarterback out of TCU that I've really liked. Kenny Hill, I don't think was
we
very
love
good.
Kenny Hill. What are you talking about?
Not to I don't know why I'm spending so much time on TCU, but that defense, I mean, they win games. Gary Patterson is a great defensive mind. Not a good offensive mind, in my opinion, because he needs a different offensive scheme. But I think that defense will beat Baylor.
And I think they're going to have another – a lot of – I think Texas beats Baylor. I think OSU beats Baylor. I think OU beats Baylor. I think I think they go – I think they lose at least three or four games this year.
It's a little biased, but it's a little honest. I think Oklahoma State will win the Big 12. I'm calling it right here on the podcast.
All right. Let's move. Let's go ahead and we're moving on to number three.
Higher pick.
I'm going to save mine for last. I'm going to let Boom and then Chloe go.
Okay. Yeah. You want me to tell mine and then talk about them? All right. Here is my hot take for college football. I'm always going to have one in anything I talk about.
Woo!
Oklahoma State Pokes.
Michael, it's a lot better than your Texas
A&M. Chloe, get ready. You're probably going to disconnect after you hear my team.
I wish I could say that Chloe didn't explain it perfectly, but she did earlier on why Oklahoma State's going to be good. She just didn't give them enough credit. The Chuba Hubbard beast. I'm tired of hearing people say, "Well, he's playing Big 12 defenses."
If you rush for almost 300 yards a game, I don't care who the heck you play. That is freaking insane.
He is insane. I lost a bet to Mr. Reeves because of him. I underestimated him like everybody else, and I quickly lost my money due to a 80-yard touchdown run. So,
can we talk about the best player on this team?
Now,
Eamon Ogbogamiga. He has the best name, and he's like a freaking beast. So,
he is also a beast. But then, let's keep talking about the offensive weapons that will not be stopped by a Big 12 defense. This offense is not going to be stopped unless they have injuries like last year. Tylan Wallace, he is a beast. If he does not have an injury decline, he will still be a beast. So there you go. You have the running threat. You have the receiving threat. Oh, wait. You have a good young mobile quarterback who keeps improving, keeps showing us he's improving, coming back. Oh, wait. Now you have a quarterback, a receiver, and a running back.
Wow.
All who I think will be top five at their position in the country.
Thank you. Someone who agrees with me. Finally.
A defense who can compete in the Big 12. And I don't care if they get smacked by 50 in the playoff game. That team, on paper, is the best team in the Big 12. I really hope they don't disappoint me. But if you're looking at it not based on what's happened in the years past, if you're looking at the new team, that team on paper is good enough to win the Big 12. I think they might split with OU. They might do it. I hope they don't. I hope they don't, because this could ruin my picks. But that's the problem with the Big 12. The team that they play in the championship game, they have to play twice. So, huge
rivalry.
And I'm going to
say right now, like, they're playing in Norman for Bethlehem. It's a completely different atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that's Oklahoma good. State thrives in Norman more than they do in Stillwater in Bethlehem games.
So I think that's good, actually, because if they're on the road, I don't think OU beats that team twice. So hopefully if they do beat them, which I don't even think they can, but if they do beat them, if they split, it's going to be the winner of the Big 12 championship who gets
okay,
in.
It'll
be OU or OSU.
I'm going to tell you why I had them.
But, yeah, you're very high on them, but you don't even have them making the playoffs.
Because the loss that's going to kill them is going to be their loss. It's going to be their game against TCU. Okay, let me give me my reasoning.
Wow.
I'm not just bashing on him. Mike Gundy, as much as I love the man, and all of his infinite wisdom that he shares in press conferences, which is the funniest thing ever. Go watch them; they're hilarious. But the first Big 12 game of the season, he has lost the past like 3 years. Some of them being literally horrible teams. Like in 2017, it was TCU when TCU was good. Then it was Tech. We lost to Tech. We lost to Tech. We lost to Tech.
I was at that game.
2 years in a row, actually. And then Texas last year, who we hadn't lost to since George Bush was president, if that tells you anything. So, a very good Texas team. Very good Texas team, by the way. I'm not bashing Texas. I'm just saying. Mike Gundy's record in the first Big 12 game of the season is very, very low in the past couple years.
And this next year, is it TCU?
And then playing.
So you think.
And it's TCU, which is a good defense. And a defense where Spencer Sanders didn't play the last four games of the season. And he's coming off three blow-off out-of-conference teams into TCU in Amon G. Carter.
Mm-hmm.
With Gundy's record as a coach in the Big 12 opening for Oklahoma State, that's why I have them at number 6 and not at number 3. Because I think that game will be lost.
Okay, so I think that could be a big possibility. I agree with you. OSU's non-conference, they might get some shock when they play a TCU defense. But first off, you really think TCU's offense is going to be good enough to keep up with OSU?
Be a little bit better than last year.
Okay.
I don't think
their offense is good enough to beat. Okay, this is what I think. I think that what's going to happen is what happened against Tech for Oklahoma State last year. Their offense holistically like plays really good, but Spencer Sanders turns over the ball too much. That ends up in a positive way for TCU. That's what I think is going to happen. I think Spencer Sanders is going to play one of those games like any inexperienced quarterback does. And I think it's going to be that game because I think that he's going to play the best defense in the Big 12 as his first Big 12 game in this new season. And I think that's going to be kind of dumbstrucking for him after he plays three teams that are horrible.
So let me ask you this now. I say that Chloe Marcella Reeves just predicted the upset of the year, and you are a wizard, and OSU is a one-loss team.
I think they can beat in that crazy OU twice world, if they want to.
Okay, so in that crazy world, why is Big 12 champion missing the playoffs?
Because I think this. Okay, I'm just going to give you my totally honest, truthful opinion. The Big 12 is not seen as good as conferences as the SEC because their defense aren't as high of a caliber in the eyes of these people that pick this stuff. And y'all know that's true. Don't argue with me because you know that's true.
But do you...
It's why OU, a one-loss OU, is a number 4 behind a one-loss team from another conference.
Okay. All right. Now let me ask you this then. Okay, so if you have two SEC teams, they're going to have at least one loss, the second one. Okay? If that is their only one loss, I don't see if the first Big 12 game, because we've seen the committee do this. It matters about what you do at the end of the season more than what you do at the beginning. So if they lose that game in the first week of conference play, then they win out. Are they going to put two SEC teams in there? I don't think they are, just because even maybe the two SEC teams are the better teams. I don't think they do it just because they want to keep it diverse, because we saw that with Georgia and OU. Georgia, in my opinion, better than OU. OU gets in because they're in a different conference than they already.
Okay, but there's also another team that I'm not going to spoil anything because it's another part of this, but I can see OSU having more than one loss. I don't want them to. I would love them to go undefeated because I know that that would just be like completely insane and blow everyone's mind. And I love that in college football. I love when that happens. But I think there's other teams in the Big 12 that could pull it out against them. And I'm saying this as like a diehard Oklahoma State right. fan too. So I'm just gonna leave that. Right. I have
so
Georgia.
Who do y'all have at three?
So I have my two.
You have SEC Georgia. Teams,
three and four. I have Georgia.
Bama. So who did you have at four?
I think Georgia. Okay, this is what I think.
So
Georgia's gonna go undefeated.
You have...
I don't know, and I think Alabama's gonna have.
Okay.
I want to say two losses, but I want to say one. I think they're just going to lose in the SEC championship. I think they're somehow pull out this.
Well, I can tell you, if Alabama has two losses and OSU has one, OSU's getting in.
Yeah, as much as I want
to
say OSU's going
to
have one loss or no,
twice,
but
though.
Potentially, yes. Yeah.
But even if they
know.
Lose to OU once, they're going to get in. I'm telling y'all, they. Every conference
Y'all,
champion
all I know,
can have one
I really just want them to be in the national championship because Leonard told me if OSU makes it to the national championship, I'm going. So we're just praying that they're in the national championship. that's a long shot considering
yeah.
I don't even have them in my top four. But
I agree Georgia could definitely be undefeated because they're definitely in the weaker side of the – of the SEC, but I think Florida's going to be a
Florida
really good
five.
Team. I am big on Florida. That's why I think they could beat Georgia, and that's why I have them at number five, Georgia or Florida, one of the two. So I think Georgia could go undefeated, but they have to beat Bama. So then if they beat Bama, I think a Big 12 team gets in. It's not even that I don't agree with
who's
Georgia or Bama getting in.
Yeah.
It's just I don't agree with
the
SEC.
I
want to
hear
my teams. That's just me.
Some crazy, another crazy team.
They are undefeated. Just like I think my number one is going to be undefeated. I have the undefeated team out of North Carolina, Appalachian State.
Michael, did you just look up on the internet college football teams?
I have Appalachian State. They were undefeated for a lot of last year. I think that they're...
Michael.
Okay.
Oh, my God. God.
Michael, that is a great opinion. No. Don't get on his case because that is a great opinion if this is an 8-team playoff. Because, you know, we saw it with UCF. Okay. Undefeated. Undefeated for like two straight years or something. But what happened? They didn't get in because
no.
they don't play. Do they have any top 25 opponents they're going to play? So if they go undefeated with no top 25 opponents, nobody's going to give them respect. People have a
Florida,
hard time giving Clemson respect.
I'm one of those teams
won, how many
that doesn't give them credit.
In the past 5 years? You know,
I've been one of those teams that hasn't given Clemson credit because of their playing,
what?
Who they play. I think that they are better than those that UCF teams. I think they're going to go 14-0. I think they're going to – I mean, you look at their division, it's not anything impressive, obviously. But, I mean, I think that they're a better UCF story. I think – I like their quarterback. I don't know. I just want to see – I want to see something different. I don't want to see the same four teams in the playoffs every year. And I want to see Appalachian State go in and
I
somehow beat my number two.
Okay, so that's actually this is the best year for you to predict that because of what I think about the SEC. I think the SEC has the ability to beat everybody.
Well, yeah. What if an SEC?
Maybe
what if
crazy
a high
team gets in
SEC
that's undefeated?
Has
just
two
because
to three wins.
Two losses. I think that there is a possibility this year that the SEC champion has two losses, but I still don't know if a two-loss SEC team gets put behind Appalachian State, but you never know.
I think, like Britton said, they're not going to get the credit, even if they go undefeated. I don't even think they can get in because, like y'all said, they're not going to get the credit because they don't play anyone.
How did Clemson start getting the credit? Who did they have to play and beat?
Because they started outscoring.
So what if Appalachian State does that?
Okay.
Because obviously Clemson and Appalachian State are kind of in the same.
That wasn't it. No, hear me out here. That was not the reason why they got credit. The reason why they got credit is the Deshaun Watson year. The Deshaun Watson year that he won the national championship with Clemson. 2016. Can't remember which season. I think 16 or 17. Yeah. They had to play number 5, Louisville, who had Lamar Jackson, who was a great team. When they beat them, they beat Lamar Jackson, and then they had to play. No, I have this. I'm gonna tell you Clemson, because I have. Okay, spoiler alert. Clemson's in my top three.
I don't know. That's just my fairy tale thing that if SEC teams beat each other up, that I think it'll be enough for one team to squeak in. I don't think they have the chance. I mean, I don't think that they have the chance to beat my number two, because I think my number two is just as good as my number one. And we'll get to that in a second. But if they go undefeated, they went 13-1 last year. If, let's say, one of their teams in the Sun Belt do really, really good and they beat them, I mean, that's asking for a lot. But is it enough to do more than what UCF did?
A last thing here on Appalachian State. You got to realize, even if they go undefeated, if there's room for a squeak in, they might even take the Pac-12 champion in there if they need somebody. There's going to be all the Power 5 teams have priority over Appalachian State. Everybody, you know, it would take a lot, even if they go undefeated. All right,
let's move.
Maybe,
let's,
you know, you never know. All right, before we move on, I think
we should
two teams are the same for everybody.
I think they might be in a different order.
I do believe
they're
in a different order.
Sure,
so my number two is Ohio State.
So is mine.
So let's just go to the Clemson one.
My number two is Clemson. Okay. So I really, really am excited to talk about number one, Ohio State, because I have a lot of reasons why they're number one. We can talk about Clemson, why they're going to be great.
How about you tell us why Ohio State's number one, and we tell you why Clemson's our number one.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell you that, but let me just talk about Clemson just for a second here. Clemson is – not okay. Remember, I had Oklahoma State in the top as my third team. Clemson is the team that I'm most worried about, because like the Appalachian State, we saw last year good old Mack Brown, one of the best college coaches of all time, by the way. Don't argue with me. In the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. a two-point conversion, a failed two-point conversion, two yards away from beating Clemson last year. And that, okay, Clemson's 29-1 in the past two seasons. Their only loss in the past two seasons after their national championship in the first season is to Joe Burrow and the boys. So they're a dominant team. Venables, their defensive coordinator, that coaching staff is the best in the country. Dabo Sweeney built that program by himself, and he is a beast. Venables, defensive coordinator. Oh my gosh. And it's not just ACC. Obviously, ACC is like, I mean, that dude could be getting a massage and call defensive plays against the ACC offenses. He is a genius, though. And I'm going to tell you when we get to, Ohio State, why Ohio State's number one is because of Brent Venables. It's crazy. But Clemson's going to be a beast team. Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. They're going to have great players. They have great coaching. But they have to be perfect. They can't lose because They're not going to play anybody. And the only reason why they have more mistake than or more respect than a team like Appalachian State is because that first year Clemson was really good. They had to beat some top 10 teams. And so then when they got their then they got their chance, won the national championship, then the next year you can't you okay, they're the national champions of last year. They just went undefeated this year. There's no way you can leave them out. And then the same thing happens and happens and happens. So they're going to get their respect if they go undefeated. But if they lose one, is them being in the playoffs for, I think, no, all but the first year we had playoffs, is that enough for a one-loss Clemson to get in? I don't know, because there was a lot of people this year saying that they're not good enough, even though I totally disagree with that. But, yeah, a weak ACC now could hurt Clemson and not give them any room to make a mistake. So now Ohio State. Why Ohio State's better than Clemson? Okay. Let me tell you. Watching the first half of the Ohio State-Clemson playoff game last year, as a Clemson fan, I wanted to punch a wall. Okay? I've never really been a big Ohio State lover. People probably think I'm from Cleveland.
Yeah, I was gonna think about that.
Or from Ohio. Yeah,
you have taking some the Cleveland Browns bias.
Ohio State
or Ohio bias.
I've been around.
I might have been around a
family that I'm friends with a little too much. So, no, I'm really not. I'm getting influenced by the lack of ability from Venables, who I think is the best defensive coordinator, the best defensive mind over Gary Patterson, over Nick Saban, anybody in the country. Nope. Venables, the defense coordinator for the Clemson Tigers, is the best defensive coach in the nation, in my opinion, okay? So the first half of that playoff game, what happened? Well, especially the first quarter and a half, Clemson got dominated, okay? Anything that Venables – and this is the only time in his career this has ever happened. Well, maybe you could say in the national championship against LSU, but really, did they have a shot? Okay, the talent was way different, okay? So, against Ohio State, okay? Clemson was the way more talented team than Ohio State, okay? Way more talented, and – that caught up to Ohio State. But the first half of that game, Ohio State dominated because Ryan Day, the new head coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes, better than Urban Meyer. Yeah, I said it. Better than
Very this controversial.
Is on this.
He is a great coach. I know a good coach when I see one. That's why I hated Charlie Strong, and that's why I like Mack Brown, okay? So I know a good coach when I see one, and Ryan Day is a great coach because that first half, he calls the plays for the Buckeyes, or he did last year, and he had Venables looking silly. I mean, I've never seen Venables that vulnerable, and Venables had the better talent. But – Ryan Day, okay, Venables sent a blitz. He's a very blitz-heavy defensive coordinator. He likes to disguise blitzes. He likes to do a lot of, zone blitzes. He loves that type of stuff. Every time Venables brought a blitz, Ryan Day, screen pass straight from where the blitz came from, or a quick slant right to where that outside linebacker's blitzing came from. Every freaking time. It was insane. I've never seen that happen. Okay, then Dabo and the coaching staff at halftime, okay, they were like, well, crap, this guy's legit. He ain't Urban no more. This guy isn't as overrated as Urban Meyer was. He's actually legit.
I'm taking the hate for this episode after Appalachian State was number 3. Boom can say whatever he wants.
And Texas A&M.
So, yeah, like I said, after Dabo Swinney and the boys got together in the halftime, they were like, what are we doing? I mean, this guy, this team, we're a better team. Let's go. Let's go win this game, Trevor. All right. Tigers on three. One, two, three. Tigers, they go out and, you know, they win the semifinal game, and then they're like, oh, crap, it's Joe Burrow. He's going to be the number one pick. We're screwed, okay? But the reasoning why I have Clemson below Ohio State is Clemson's not going to be as talented as they were last year. Trevor Lawrence is going to be better than he was last year. He didn't have as great of a season as he did his first year. But still made it to the national championship. And I can agree with y'all putting Clemson number one because, okay, on the flip side of what I said about them having to be perfect, they have a very easy schedule, so they're going to be undefeated. But I don't see Ohio State losing to anybody in the Big Ten either. And I think that since the Big Ten is going to have ranked teams, not very many, I don't think, this year, but they're going to have them. Penn State,
I don't think
Michigan's not going to be that good this year. I don't think Harbaugh was the right move for Michigan. I think Michigan's kind of stuck in Ohio State's shadow right now. As much as I hate to say it, kind of like
Texas, I know that was hard for you.
Oklahoma. Oh gosh, I said it.
You're gonna hate from your own family on that one, Britton.
So, I don't know if I don't see it happening. I don't see an undefeated. Because I think we all agree here. Ohio State, Clemson, both
gonna be undefeated. I say Ohio State correct. Loses to Penn State.
Michael?
No, I've Clemson.
So you think they're still number one with a loss?
That's the reason I have Ohio State as number two, because they have a loss.
Oh yeah, my bad. All right, so okay, all right, then that makes sense.
Then it should be Ohio State,
which I think personally they will be, unless then it should be Ohio State. That's the only reason. But I think this year Ohio State has Clemson's number because of Ryan Day. I think he's a beast. And I think that Penn State's probably at the – and when the year's over, Penn State and Ohio State are the only two Big Ten teams that finish ranked. But in the middle of the season, there will be some Big Ten teams that are overrated just because they've had success, like Michigan and actually, I take that back.
No,
I mean,
we're still talking about sleepers.
I don't have any more sleepers. I have my top six.
Oh, y'all, I got some real good sleepers.
Okay.
Y'all,
then I'll go. Okay, then I'm gonna save those for later. I really want to talk about two of those teams. But yeah, that's all I got. I think both teams are undefeated in the Big Ten stronger.
Right.
That's
number one. Do you have anything else to add to our top six right now, Chloe? Or do you want to go to our Heisman?
No, I think we should go to Heisman.
I'll start it off. I have Trevor Lawrence. Boom, you'll take it.
Before Chloe gets on her rant.
I do have Trevor Lawrence.
All three.
But I have a rant. And he is right. I just ran to go on.
Okay.
And it is about Chuba Hubbard.
Wow, a running back.
Running back is not.
He's not
going to
win the Heisman.
But
if he doesn't get invited to the Heisman ceremony, he got robbed last year. Y'all know he did. Jonathan Taylor was not a better running back than him. He should have got the Doak Walker Award. What was better?
That was crap. I'm tired of people
and you're telling
saying
me,
it was
okay,
because
I'm
of Big 12 defense.
You're telling me
I'm tired
that
of it.
The defensive, the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year doesn't get invited to the Heisman ceremony, but a Big 12 Offensive Player does? That's not the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year?
No,
that doesn't make
it doesn't.
Sense, does it? No. Chuba Hubbard should have been a Heisman finalist last year. Don't argue.
I don't think Jalen Hurts. Everybody knew Jalen Hurts didn't even have a shot.
Added to the high
and
season. That's all I'm
and
saying.
And so why is if Chuba is voted the Big 12 Player of the Year, if and he's on offense, and the Heisman is really the best player in the country, then why is it?
Because this, why, well, yeah, this is why. I totally agree with that. In actually. A few short, simple words, it's about the name on the front of your jersey. It is not about the name on the back of your jersey. And I'll stand by that. Players that,
well,
were, most players from
I also,
big name colleges that are succeeding and doing very well win the Heisman. You could, Chuba Hubbard freaking carried Oklahoma well, yeah, State on his that, back the first eight well, games. Well,
if they're year. If they're as high as six or what Boom had, I'm pretty sure three.
He should,
Chuba will be get his votes. It's just because they weren't as high
as he should.
I don't think Sanders had a crazy year is really going to change much
for Chuba. Yeah, he's still going to be good. He's still going to be fantastic.
No, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell y'all right now, Chuba's not going to get as many carries. He's not going to have a 2,000-yard season. He's not going to have a season that people compared to Barry Sanders, which was insane. Do not compare anybody to Barry Sanders. No one will ever be Barry Sanders. But that's another rant for another day. But at some point, you have to look at the player and not the team sometimes. Like, Chuba was.
Yeah, but they yes, also. I'm not you should be rewarded should go for get wins.
To an 8-0, an 0-12 team and find their player and bring them to the.
You no. shouldn't also
North play North Carolina powerhouse.
You, I don't care who. I don't care who you play for. But if you have a 2,000-yard season as a running back, come on now. Let's be real. Let's think about this. Like, you're running, rushing for 2,000 yards, and you're not getting recognized in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. All right, so Trevor Lawrence, Mike, I think we probably have the same opinion.
And still made – yeah.
He was – he had a down year oh, this I year think, and I still think- – went to
I originally I had Justin Fields. I'm not gonna lie to y'all, but then I was like, no, Trevor Lawrence. He just has it. There's something like when he play when he's on
when
the field.
When you're a there. Freshman being not, touted as the number one pick,
Justin Fields is a,
in your is, draft class. You are something. You have it.
He is insane. He is insane.
And as much as I love Trevor Lawrence, I think Justin Fields probably has almost the same shot as him just because the same reason why Ohio State might or will be picked number one over Clemson if they're both undefeated. People are going to say Fields was playing the Big Ten, Lawrence was playing the ACC. But Fields
I has still to think Trevor Lawrence is a better Lawrence quarterback. Just
to do that.
I.
Oh, he might be. But also, we just heard that sometimes the better players don't always get it.
Oh, know? That's easy.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, Joe not Burrow was Joe the Burrow Heisman didn't deserve Heisman. But
no.
But Jalen Hurts didn't and belong. I'm not, he didn't, but, you know.
I'm not saying that Chuba necessarily belonged there, but he was a player that proved to be the best in his position that could have that contended for an award.
Well, he didn't even get the running back award. That was crazy to me. How do you
like
how
I think it's the name on the front of your jersey? Whatever. Most, you know, the name on the back. That's why Jalen Hurts was at the Heisman ceremony. Oklahoma State.
Let's move on to the rest of our sleepers, and then I have two questions for both of you. How many sleepers do you have?
Okay. You want me to start?
Okay, I don't have any sleepers. I just went with the top six.
I have
so
three,
we'll go to your sleepers, then we can do Chloe's.
Okay, so my first woman that I have is Utah. The Utes, okay? I'm really, really, really feel disrespected that last year when Texas and Tom Herman absolutely they were playing chess, not checkers. Texas was out there. They just dominated Utah. just like the year before, they dominated Georgia in their bowl game. I think that Texas didn't get a lot of credit for that win, but also Utah was a win away from making the playoffs last year. Okay, or nor the bowl game. If Utah beats Oregon, they're in the playoffs. It was as clear as day. We knew it going into it that OU was not getting in if Utah won, because Utah was undefeated. Everybody knew it. Everybody said it. Utah was a win away. Okay.
No.
Is Oregon going to be the same team they were last year? I don't think so. Okay. So if Utah can beat everybody in the Pac-12 again, maybe. And, you know, the Pac-12, like I said earlier, it's struggling. I mean, I don't think any of those teams deserve to get in. But the only reason I'm saying Utah has a chance, they're still a Power 5 conference, and they have – they're kind of like Clemson. They're not going to have the same respect as Clemson, but if they go undefeated like Clemson in their weak conference, they could sneak in if some other conferences beat each other. So that's all I got for Utah. My second one is, like I said earlier, talking about the Big Ten. I didn't want to give it away yet. Minnesota, okay? The Golden Gophers, okay? Man, would you be intimidated to line up against the Golden Gopher? Golden Gophers have one team to beat, in my opinion. I think they beat Penn State again. I was in the state of Pennsylvania when they did it, and those people were mad. That was crazy. Minnesota was not respected, even though they were undefeated. And until that game, when they beat Penn State, everybody's like, they're legit. But then I think they lost to Jonathan Taylor. And the Badgers. Don't speak that name. And then, who, by the way, Jonathan Taylor carried that team. They did not have a pass game, okay? The only reason they won games is because of Jonathan Taylor. And now that Jonathan Taylor's gone, Wisconsin's not going to be anything, okay? So, but Minnesota lost to Jonathan Taylor and lost to Ohio State, obviously. But I think they beat Penn State again. And they have one team to beat to get in, Ohio State. All right, then my third one. Oh, my third one. My beloved Texas Longhorns. You know, OU and OSU is all talked about in the Big 12. And Texas, Tom Herman, since he got to Texas, has been a great recruiter. Had a lot of talent the past few years. Had probably, I really think, the best receivers in the country for the past 2-year span. Little Jordan Humphrey, Colin Johnson, and Devin Duvernay. Devin Duvernay is going to be good in the NFL. Good slot receiver, very fast. Colin Johnson, big target. Little Jordan Humphrey, big target. Good outside receivers. Okay. Sam Ellinger, I think, is capable, if he has the coaching and the team around him, is capable to be a conference champion and even a playoff quarterback, because he's not the problem, in my opinion. When Tom Herman, after the season, fired all of his coaching staff, basically, fired offense coordinator, defense coordinator, everybody, he called the plays in the Utah game. A lot of people say Texas won because Utah wasn't trying. That could have been part of it. But what if it was because this is the first time Tom Herman called the plays for both sides of the ball? The Texas Longhorns were so talented this year, were so hyped up this year, and they failed because of play calling. I mean,
their injuries weren't the play injuries, calling was,
but they
the
had,
defense was they were they lost a lot on defense.
But
though.
They did the defense of that the DBs really got banged up, and
they
were just getting burnt out there by the Big 12
hurt against Oklahoma State, dropping like flies in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a problem. In the play calling, though, on the offensive side especially, I think defense was a problem too. But the offensive side especially, oh my gosh. We have great Colin Johnson, great Devin Duvernay, a pretty good Sam Ellinger, who's proved you nothing but to throw the ball down the field. He he hasn't made that like mistakes to not do it. We're running little screen passes to Roschon Johnson, a converted quarterback to running back. I mean, he was a good player, but we're running swing routes and screen passes. We never really handed the ball off. Anytime we wanted to run the ball, it was a quarterback run with Sam Ellinger. It was not good play calling. And my problem is with Texas is they were a year too late to get good play callers because last year, really talented. This year, they're losing all their good receivers. And I don't know if they're talented enough. I don't know if play calling can make up for it. But if – yes, Duvernay is probably going to be a first or second round pick, I think. Very high prospect there because he had a great combine. But, yeah, if the coaching is – if the coaching's enough to make them good, they could compete with OU and OSU. But all they right, lost a lot of their talent. So let's move on to Chloe's sleepers. Those are my sleepers.
Okay, so I have Auburn, which I kind of talked about just beating Alabama. I think they've kind of been a clutch team in hard games the past couple of seasons, and I just see them doing that again. And then my other one is kind of – I kind of talked about it when I talked about Oklahoma State possibly winning – I mean, losing another game in the Big 12. It's to Iowa State. I think Iowa State – I don't think they're – talked about ever to be in contention for the Big 12, and I don't think they are this year, but I think that they just disrupt the Big 12, and they have the past couple years in terms of who's going to win the Big 12, who's going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be in the Big 12 championship. And I think Iowa State kind of upsets the Big 12 a lot, and I think they're going to do it again this year to somebody. And then my last one, Y'all are probably going to be so shocked.
Before your last one, your first two, your sleepers are more ability to upset people rather than mine. If things go right, could sneak into the playoff. If I'm
correct. Yeah, do you have these teams personally making the playoffs?
I have higher sleepers. You have Iowa State type who can upset some people's season.
I have teams that can pull people out of the playoffs because they upset them. Yes. No. I think if any of these could, it would be Auburn. They might be able to sneak in.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just the people that I picked because you don't really think about Iowa State winning the Big 12 or really being up in contention in the Big 12. But they always upset somebody that changes the whole dynamic of the Big 12, and that's kind of why
OU and TCU were in the Big 12 championship. Both of those teams mm-hmm. lost to Iowa State.
Yeah, because it was OU, TCU, and OSU. OU and TCU both lost to Iowa State, and OSU lost to OU and TCU.
All right.
So. Yeah, and then my last one.
Oh gosh.
Are y'all ready for this? Okay, it's like it's not a sleeper that like can get into the playoffs. Like, it's like they're probably not gonna be in the top 25, but it's Mississippi State.
What?
Mike Leach.
I love him.
Their new coach. He's insane. He's freaking insane, and that's why I'm saying that they're gonna be a sleeper. Like, I think they can win some games this year. I think they can kind of throw some people off their high horse. Like, in the
last year, honestly, I would have picked North Carolina because they got Mac Brown. You're picking solely because of a veteran coach who's proved himself.
Yeah. I'm picking because not the coach has necessarily proved himself, but he has taken people that other coaches and recruiters don't see the talent in and have formed them into talented players that played that not necessarily that they were like the best talents, but they still showed up in games and still won games with people that were far less talented.
Yeah,
than
I would agree with that
against.
If they were in any other conference, you know?
Yeah. But I just think Mike Leach, there's a lot that he can do. And these SEC teams have not seen an offense like Mike Leach's. So I think that might be a little challenge for him. So, I'm like I said, they're not going to be in playoff contention. They probably might not be in the top. They probably won't be in the top 25 unless they sneak their way in. But I think
they have upset potential.
They could. I think they have major upset potential. Major upset potential.
All right. So I have a thing that I like to do. I did this to Boom last time, just because we prepare our questions before we prepare our
our top sixes.
We prepared our divisions last episode. So I have a question for both of you. Who is your national champion?
Oh, okay. This isn't hard. Chloe lays first.
Okay. Well. Are we talking, like, realistically or, like, what I hope happens?
Realistically.
Who do you think?
Realistically, I have Clemson as my number one, but I think Ohio State, realistically.
Okay, Boom.
Ohio State, like I said earlier, I mean, I have them ranked number one because I rank number one and two not based on committee, based on who I think, if I was the committee, who I'd put. Because I think Ryan Day's going to have the upper hand this year. That's just me. I think Justin Fields balls out this year.
So I want to continue to have a podcast and have some respectability, so I'm not going to put Appalachian State like I wanted to. I'm going to give it to Clemson. They're going to have the Heisman. I think Trevor Lawrence is the best player in the nation, obviously. I can't see. I think they'll play Ohio State, and I think they'll beat them.
I hope.
Go ahead.
All right. You said you have another question or no?
I do. My second question is, do you think the playoffs should be extended and to how many into how many teams? Boom, you're starting this one.
Okay. Here is my thing that I've said since they started the playoffs. Okay. We've had this problem every year. We've had the playoffs. Determining 4 and 5. Okay. We've came as the NCAA, you know, we've came to the realization that there's five power, you know, there's power, the power five conferences. There's five conferences that are the powerhouses, you know, even though the Pac-12's kind of slacking off. Yeah. So there's power five, these power five conferences. Okay. So in the past, every time that the conference, every time that the playoffs have happened, can you say that any of those power five champions couldn't have an argument at least to get in the playoff?
Personally, no.
Oregon last year made a push and could have gotten in. So even the worst conference champion had an argument. Okay. So now let's say, okay, why not do the Power Five champions, okay, three wild card types, okay. So say you have an SEC, a really strong SEC, and it doesn't even mean that the Power Five have to be the top five seeds. Say it's another Alabama Georgia year where both teams are very good, but one of them just lost. Okay, you can put them in. Okay. Say if I think what's going to happen in the Big 12 this year, OU and OSU, I don't think they're going to be both really – I think the second place of the Big 12 is not going to be that great as they have been. But say you want to put them in one year. Say you want to put – and this leaves the ability for a UCF or an Appalachian State to get in.
Yeah.
The 8 seed, okay. So you put in the Power Five teams who you know those conferences are going to stay steady. Those are going to be teams that are good. You're going to have Clemson, or you're going to have those type of teams. You know, you're going to have Ohio State, those teams that deserve it. And then if something crazy happens, and I think that also adds an element of excitement for the conference championship. What happens if Clemson, who played Virginia in their conference championship last year, what happens if they get upset in their conference championship and Virginia wins? Now, we just had a March Madness element before the tournament, okay? That's why people love March Madness, because the ability for upsets. you know? So what if an upset happens in their conference tournament? Well, or a conference championship game. Okay, now Clemson probably still gets in because they're still in the top eight team if they just lost one game. But now an underdog gets in. So that's just my opinion.
All right. So you have eight teams.
Yep, eight teams with five buy-ins.
Okay, Chloe, let me get yours, and then I'm going to dispute Britton's or Boom's.
I actually agree with Britton's. I think that...
Wow. Did she just say she agrees with me on something other than OSU yes, football?
Well, considering that I'm still holding out hope for my Oklahoma State Cowboys to be national champions, we'll see. But I do agree with Britton. I do think the five Power Five conference champions should get in, and three wildcard teams, like he said, that can bring in an Appalachian State or a UCF that can cause upsets and that can change the dynamic of the whole playoffs. It's not just these four teams that everyone knows who's going to win the two games that are played.
All right.
Honestly, to me, I'm not going to lie. The college football playoffs are boring. You know who's going to win.
No, don't say that. Did you know for sure that who was going to win the Clemson-Ohio State game last year?
I called Clemson. I didn't watch also the game. Called
Clemson.
Not while I was... I called Clemson. I knew Clemson.
Okay. What about the very first year? About the very first college football playoff year when TCU, in my opinion, got snubbed out of the playoffs before the Big 12 had a conference championship game and Ohio State got in with Zeke, beat the number one seeded Alabama? Nobody expected that. Nobody even thought they deserved to be in. Can you tell me you predicted that?
No, I didn't. But I'm going to tell you the last 3-4 years, you have predicted pretty much every game. And you can't argue with me on that one.
But that also is because we've just seen probably one of the greatest teams we'll ever see, LSU. Okay? Then there's been a steady, great powerhouse of coaching and talent in Clemson. I mean, that's just what happens when there's great teams every year. It's not really the playoffs' fault. It's just because of great teams.
But I think when you add more teams that are kind of question marks and that are also great teams, but maybe fell short in the conference championship or maybe fell short at the beginning of the season, that these teams are coming in that can
Yeah, I agree. That's why
that everyone's predicted to win, and that's why I think you should add more teams and not just these four teams. When most likely number one's going to come out on top.
Yeah, and when you add more teams, we see this in March Madness with how many teams? 64, right? Mm-hmm. When you add more teams, there's the chances of an upset go way up. So
yeah,
it just makes it more interesting. You could argue that okay, now if you did that, then teams that don't deserve to be in are in. But if there's eight teams, that means you have to win three rounds. So if they win three games against top-tier teams, then yeah, they deserved the championship.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're winning your conference, and then that's the Power Five conferences, and there's three other teams. Well, if these three teams from conferences that aren't very big win their conference and they get in,
they have nothing to gripe about.
Yeah, because they won their conference, and they're not pushing out another team that won their conference.
All right. I'm not trying to cut you off. I know it makes zero sense for me to say no on the expansion after putting Appalachian State and A&M in there, but I think the committee obviously doesn't really like the Big 12 as much. I think we can all agree with that. They kind of look down on us.
Ever since the ever since they added the conference championship, that the Big 12 literally added that to make the committee put a team in. When TCU got snubbed, it was because they didn't have the game. But continue.
So obviously, I have Appalachian State at three. But if they had that extended 8-team playoff like Boom's format, it would make more sense for Appalachian State to be like an 8 seed.
But oh, I'd put it in.
For competitive balance reasons, we saw number one LSU
beat up on Oklahoma last year, and they were the 4 seed. What would a number 1 seed against like an 8 do in the college playoffs? Well, it would be awful.
The problem was
not necessarily. No,
the problem was OU. People don't understand this about any sport. Some teams match up better against different teams. Okay. Georgia and LSU played a pretty close game in the regular season last year, didn't they? I don't know. This is just me talking. I think they did.
I think it was close until like the fourth quarter, and then Joe Burrow was Joe Burrow, and they won by like 20.
Okay. So, but I think they matched up a lot better than OU did. Texas was a wide open drop touchdown away from beating LSU in before conference play started. Some teams match up better with different teams. So if Georgia gets in the playoff over OU, I don't think you have such a dominant. And also, LSU is going to dominate. They dominated Clemson, who's been a top dog for years. So if you see that great of a team, they're obviously going to dominate anybody. But some teams are going to put up a better fight than others, I think.
That's fair. I just think for competitive balance reasons, even though I am the one that did put a non-Power 5 school in, I'm just not a fan of letting a big old school beat up on a little team, even though it would be cool for that little school because they get to go in and potentially watch their college playoff team go and try to do something like we get in March Madness where we saw, was it UMBC?
UMBC.
Beat the number 1 Virginia. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I loved that. That was amazing. And that would be cool to see in football, but I don't see as much upset potential in football as in basketball. That's just me.
Yeah, I understand that too. But I just think that there's got to be something, a solution, because every single year of the playoff, we've had a question that of four or five. And normally it's between a Big 12 team and somebody else. That's normally the question. So I do agree with you there. People don't respect the Big 12 a lot. But the offense is, it's because OU hasn't put up a fight in the playoff. That's why the Big 12 keeps getting disrespected. The offense of OU always puts up points, but the defense just always gets obliterated. And that's the problem. So,
all right. Any last words from both of you?
It was fun again. I made a lot of bold statements about Urban Meyer and Ryan Day and all them, but I'm so glad that Michael put A&M and Appalachian State in there.
You got the heat taken off of you.
But it was fun.
I just want to say that everybody better watch out for Oklahoma State next year because they will be a good team.
And you got to remember, for anybody who's listening, we are Oklahoma State fans.
Yeah, let's show a little bit of the bias. I'm a TCU fan.
I am.
We have two Oklahoma State fans.
Okay, you name a team. I probably have some tie to them. Okay, I name like 5 teams in my intro. Yeah, I like a lot of colleges. But I think that everything that I say on these podcasts, including the Browns prediction, everybody, I'm always going to have some reason. You might not agree with it, but I'm never just going to say something just to say it. I think Oklahoma State on paper is really dangerous, but I don't think they win the national championship. I just think I really think they can get in. But
I think I obviously am biased about this. But they are a good team, and I'll even admit this. I think that OSU, OU, and Texas will be the top contenders for the Big 12. So,
all right. Do you guys want to say your Instagrams?
They already got mine, so.
It's right. Fine.
I appreciate you both coming on. I hope to see you both on again here soon. Well, I don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll find something to talk about. We just got about a 100-minute episode, so we did good. But